title of my message, I was going to title it The Message No One Wants to Hear. But I think people wouldn't understand that. But it is still a message people don't want to hear. But here's the title of this message. You've got to stay on the cross. You've got to stay on the cross. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you today for your word. We ask you to anoint it. Let it be effective, Lord. Let it find good soil. Lord, as we breathe out in praise, Lord, let us inhale your word right now. Let it find a place, Lord God, to increase faith, to touch us, to motivate us, to move us. We lift up your name and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got to stay on the cross. You may be seated in Jesus' name. You know, staying on the cross is not a message I want to hear. It's not a message that is popular. It's not something that is pleasant. It's not something that is good. People don't want pain. No one likes pain. No one likes suffering. No one likes to have to go through stuff, especially for being a Christian, for following Christ, for keeping our integrity, for struggling against sin. But the message today is you got to stay on the cross. In this scripture I read, they were trying to get Christ off the cross. You know, this message today is really for believers. You see, each and every one of us who have been in the church a while, we may have prayed for people, we may have seen miracles happen, we have seen all kinds of stuff done, but there is a day when it's us on the cross. It's us that's up there, it's us that's suffering. And everyone will tell us, you don't need to go through that, you can get out of this easy. But today my message is, you got to stay on the cross. You have to keep struggling against sin. You cannot give up. You can't come down off of that cross. See, the easy message, the amen message, is to preach victory and glory and easy happenings and ruling and reigning. And all of that is true. But all of that comes after the cross. We love the scriptures that say all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and you shall be given power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But all of those scriptures are after the cross. See, they tell of victory, they tell of glory, they tell of triumph, and we all love that. I love that. I love victorious scriptures. They're all true, but the path to the cross leads through the garden. It leads through the arrest. It leads through getting into Pilate's face. It leads getting brutalized. It leads to getting whipped. It leads to a crown of thorns. It leads to arrest. And what I'm trying to tell you is, you got to stay on your cross. In Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus told his disciples, he said, if any man or woman will come after me, let him deny himself. That means you're going to have to put down your own wants, your own wishes, all your hopes and dreams. That's what deny means. It doesn't mean you get to do everything you want and still have Christ. No, it means you're going to have to follow him. It says, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Don't try picking up someone else's cross. You're going to have to pick up your own cross. There is no escaping or avoiding the cross. That's what Jesus said. Let me just be straight with you. Let me say it again. There is no escaping or avoiding your cross. And each of us will have a cross, or maybe more than one, as we go through life. There will be things. There will be opposition. There will be sickness. There can be finances. There can be relationship. There will be a cross for you to pick up. This verse is found in three of the four Gospels. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's found three places where it repeats the same thing, where Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to pick up the cross. But you know, it's more than just picking up the cross. See, maybe all of us at times have prayed and encouraged others. You know, when they're going through it, it's easier to pray for them and tell them, you can do it. You can make it. Maybe we've had miracles. Jesus was the throughput of many miracles, but he still had to pick up his cross. Maybe we believed God for deliverances. We've had great victories at times. But for every believer, for every saint of God, there will be things. There will be situations. There will be trials. There will be persecutions. There will be issues. In other words, there will be a cross. Now, here's the hard part. God will not remove it. I know you're all silent at me, but this is the truth. God will not remove it because it's his plan that you pick up your cross. There is a purpose in the cross. There was a purpose in Jesus going to the cross. It wasn't that God just liked seeing death and torture. No, there was a purpose in the cross. There is a purpose in your cross. And you can't get off that cross until that purpose is fulfilled. You know what the purpose of the cross is? It's death. You have to die. Jesus could not see the resurrection until he had seen the cross. There's going to be a cross for you to carry. There's a cross, no matter how holy, how precious, how sanctified we are, you're not better than Jesus. You're not greater than the Master. There is a cross we will have to bear. And pray as we might, God will not remove it. Because that is just the way he has set it up. There is a cross. There's some things that just have to be that way, you know? They say good judgment comes from bad experience. Think about that. You learn some things through suffering. You see, he told us in Romans 6:6, he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. There is no escaping the cross. There's some things about me that has to die. There's things about me that Jesus sees that has to be put on a cross. And although they say, okay, he prayed for others. He's the pastor. He's seen great miracles. Now he's on the cross. All you have to do is get off the cross. Let's see if he saved others. Most of you in here who have been in church a while, you've prayed for others. Maybe you've heard of miracles and things, but then your turn comes when you are put on that cross. And just like Jesus, you'll go in the garden and you'll ask, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass. I don't want this cross. I don't want to deal with this sickness. I don't want to deal with this relationship issue. I don't want to deal with what I'm going through. But here's one thing God will not do. He didn't do it for Jesus. He said, if it be possible, remove this cup. Let this cup pass. But nevertheless, that's what we have to say, nevertheless. See, Paul says the reason for the cross is that our old man needs to be crucified. There are things in me that still need dying. There's things in you that have to be crucified. And you can't get up off that cross yet. Not until you get to the place where you give it all up and you can say like Jesus, it is finished. You know, we didn't pay for man's redemption, but there are parts of us that have to die. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man, the part of me that used to be, Paul goes on to say, I have to die daily. Because there's parts of me want to get back up. There's parts of me want to get to opposition to God, that the body of sin might be destroyed. There is a purpose for the cross in your life. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. If you're going to make heaven, there's no escaping a cross. You have to carry your cross. You can't give it to someone else. Now Jesus will help you, just as how Simon of Cyrene helped Jesus. He'll be there to help you, but you, guess what? You're the only one going to be nailed to it. He has done his part. Now it's your turn. It's my turn. We are going to have to stay on the cross. You know, the question that comes to mind is why? Why, God, do we have to bear a cross? Why do we have you bear the cross? Why do we have to bear a cross? Well, here's a partial answer. It's found in Matthew 10:24. It says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Jesus bore a cross. If you call him Lord and Master, you know what that means? You're going to have to bear one too. And when you're on the cross is when you're going to face your hardest, your greatest, your most severe temptation. They're going to come to you like I read in the scripture, and they said, look, he prayed for others. He goes to church all the time. Now look at him suffering. Look at what he's going through. Maybe God doesn't love him. Maybe God doesn't love her because look what she's going through. Look what they're going through. You got to drown out those voices and you've got to stay on the cross. Amen. Jesus could have come off the cross. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. If he hadn't bowed his head and said it's finished, they could have had him up there for a year. Nothing would have happened. He said, no man takes my life, but I give it for salvation, for us, for our redemption. He says, I give it willingly. We have to stay upon the cross. See, there's more to the answer than what this one verse says in Matthew 10:4. But maybe on a Bible study night, I'll go into it. But right now, the hard message is, you got to stay on your cross. Are you on a cross right now? Any of you, is it only me on a cross? Any of you going through some things? Devil's telling you there's some easy way out. They've come mocking and say, hey, you go to church. How come you're suffering like this? You know what you have to tell them? Well, I'm following my Lord and Master. I'm following my Lord and Master. You have to deny yourself, take up your own cross, and make sure you stay up there until it's dead. You got to stay on the cross. The Bible says we are a living sacrifice. We got to present our bodies a living sacrifice. You see, we want the glory scriptures. We want the rule and reign. We want all the blessings. But can we drink the cup? In Mark chapter 10, verse 35, two of Jesus' disciples came up to him and said, listen, we want to sit on your left and right side. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him saying, Master, we would thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Isn't that how we pray? Lord, we want you to do everything for us and anything we ask. But are you going to stay on your cross? Are you going to drink the cup that I have to drink? They said unto him, grant us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. I preached last week about being vessels of his glory. And all of that is true. But before the glory, before the resurrection, there is the cross. We want the glory. We want to sit on the left hand. We want the seat of honor. But can we drink the cup? Jesus said unto them, you don't know what you're asking. So all of you praying for blessing and God's glory, you don't know what you're asking. You know what you're asking? You're asking to drink his cup. You want God's glory and blessing and power and might and all of that? You know what you're asking? You're asking like these two disciples. I want to sit on your left and I want to sit on your right hand. And Jesus is asking you in turn, can you drink my cup? Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? What he was asking, are you ready to go to the cross? Are you ready to have people spit on you, slap you, tear out your hair, put crowns of thorns on you, whip your back? Are you ready for that? You want the glory. You want to sit beside me. But can you drink my cup? Any amen to that? I know that's a hard message. This is the message we don't want to hear. We want to hear about victory and glory and blessing and God making us the head and not the tail. But before all of that, there is a garden experience. There is a trial experience. There is a whipping experience. There is a crown of thorns experience. There is a nailing on a cross experience. There is a temptation on the cross to get out of it. I know I keep using my wife and I hope she won't mind, but I know when she was going through hard labor, and I've said this before, she you know, in her mind, all she had to do was get up and walk away, and the pain would go. Of course, that's not how life works. You know, when you're pregnant, the pregnancy goes with you. You can't leave the pain on the table. You can't just leave the cross and think it will stop. That's not how it works. You got to stay upon the cross. You have to drink the cup. You have to drink the cup. What does the cup symbolize? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 26:27, on the night that he was going to be arrested, he took the cup. And he said, this is my blood. You want to still drink the cup? You understand what the cup symbolizes? How do you get blood? You don't get blood just by squeezing grapes. You get blood by some cutting, by some whipping, by some torture. This is my blood of the new covenant. You know how you get a will exercised? There has to be a death. There has to be a cross experience, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. He gave them the cup and he said, this is my blood. You want to drink this cup with me? You want to share in my glory? You're going to have to stay on your cross. You're going to have to stay on your cross. I know you probably don't like it. I don't like hearing that. I want to get off the cross. I don't want my pain. I don't want to be whipped. I don't want to have to go through people talking bad about me. I don't want people cursing me out. I don't want certain issues that I have to deal with in life. But this is one prayer you will not get removed. Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, you see, the only way you get to resurrection is there has to be a death. You can't resurrect someone who's already alive. You have to die out to yourself, to all your hopes, to your dreams. And so you empty yourself. That's what the Bible says about Jesus in Philippians. He said he emptied himself. King of glory came down, emptied himself of all his divinity and his majesty, and made himself of no reputation. You got to stay on your cross. For this is my blood of the New Testament. It wasn't just wine he was symbolizing. You want to sit and eat with me and drink with me? Drink this cup. You want to sit on my left-hand side? You want to rule and reign with me? You want the glory that is going to dwell in you? There is a cross that you're going to have to stay on. Many won't pay that price. Many won't even carry the cross. They'll drop it. Many will go as far as when they see the hammer coming down with the nail and say, uh-oh, this is too much. Paul said, they've all forsaken me. Demas and all of them forsaken, having loved this present world. Because the cross is going to make a test. The cross is going to weed people out. The cross is going to see whether you are real or not. Are you just like a social club church or an easy venue? Because there will be a cross, sometimes more than one, because sometimes there's a lot of stuff in here that needs to die. How was this cup going to be filled? With his blood. Jesus' whole life, when he came the first time, was aimed, purposed for that one event, the cross. He says, for this cause came I into the world. This was prophesied from Genesis. I taught that in Bible school, in Bible study, when we get the names. And the last three names are Methuselah, his death shall bring. Lamech, which means despairing, and Noah comfort. Imagine if Jesus had gotten off the cross. There would have been no redemption. There would have been no means for man to be saved. His death, drinking that cup with him, signifies our identification with him on the cross. His death means remission of sins. Our death means we are identifying with him, taking away our sins. He did the hard part in the flesh. Again, Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. It's not just even carrying the cross. We have to do that every day. But there's going to be times of crucifixion. There's going to be times when someone puts some nails in you. What are you going to do then? You know, he could have just gone, psh, and there'd have been a pile of ashes. At any time, Jesus could have gone, psh, I'm getting off of this. The very wood that he was nailed to, he called it into existence. He could have at any time just gone, psh, they'd have all disappeared. He could have fried them by just looking at them. But he submitted himself, he humbled himself, and he stayed on his cross. My question to you today, are you going to stay on your cross? Because that's the only way you really drink the cup. That's the only way you're going to get through this. This is one prayer God is not going to take, because we have to go the way of the cross. Amen? Mark 14:36. Jesus in the garden prayed, and he's called by his familial name. He said, Abba, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup. In his flesh, he didn't want it either. Who wants torture? Who wants pain? Who wants to go through life with some suffering, some trials? But you know what it shows? There's some things, some parts of us that still have to die. Take away this cup from me. He did not want it in his flesh. Nevertheless, and to me this is the greatest statement a human being can say. If you can actually say this and mean it, you've really gone someplace. If you can say, nevertheless, Lord, no matter what I'm going through, not what I will, but thou wilt. When you have said that, when you can say that, you know what? You have really gone somewhere. That is, to me, the greatest thing a human being can say is when you say, but not what I will. See, Satan said the opposite. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will sit on the sides of the north. I will ascend into the mountain. Jesus was the reverse. He said, not what I will. I did not come to do what I want. Many times I have a little conversation with God and I say, well, I shouldn't even say it. Why am I in Milwaukee? Have a little conversation, right? That's not my will. Let me tell you, I could be anywhere. Some of you could be anywhere. But you know what the scripture says? The hireling fleeth. I'm not going to flee from getting off this cross. No. No. I'm going to stay on there till this part of me that is wicked, that is corrupt, is totally dead. Then I can look forward to a resurrection. You see, there are some things that we pray for God is not going to remove because they are part of our cross. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He says this about a certain church. He says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. You're going to suffer some things. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that he may be tried. Yeah, he's going to be allowed to do some things to you so that you can be tried. You know, as I said, one of the strangest verses in scripture, or at least for a long time, I didn't understand it, is when Jesus said to Peter, you know, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to blow you away. And Jesus, all Jesus said is, instead of saying, but I'm stopping him, or I'm going to prevent him, or I'm going to protect you, all he says is, I pray that your faith fail not. You know why? That was a cross that Peter had to go through. But here is the key. He prayed that his faith, see, it takes faith to stay upon that cross. It takes faith to endure. It takes faith and belief and trust that God loves you despite what you're going through, despite what the mockers and the people are saying. Well, if he was a Christian, this wouldn't happen. They said that about Job. But the Bible says in all of this, he did not lose his integrity or charge God foolishly. See, there are some things we are going to have to experience. There is a valley of the shadow of death where we're going to be led. But fear not, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Once you've gotten through the valley, then you can have the table prepared in the presence of your enemies. See, the big reason for the cross is, as I said, that there are some things in us still that have to die. But how do we survive the cross? How do we get through knowing that we've got all of this stuff we got to deal with and it's not going to be over and we're going to have to go to Pilate? They're going to beat us. They're going to whip us. How did Jesus get through the cross? How did Jesus get through the cross? Because it's the same way that we're going to get through the cross. The Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy? The resurrection day. What I'm trying to tell you, the cross is not forever. There is a resurrection day. And all you have to do is focus on getting past the cross. The Bible said he endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. Jesus was not thinking about so much his pain. He was thinking about the resurrection and what his death would bring. As the prophecy says, what did his death bring? His death brought repentance. His death brought many sons to glory. That's what the scripture says. The cross is the loneliest place because nobody can help you. You have to do it by yourself. Jesus, even in his flesh, cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? There's going to be a time on the cross where, even though in reality you're not alone, you feel alone. It's a place of shame. You understand all those nice pictures we see with a loincloth wasn't how they did it. It's a place of humiliation. It's a place of where people see you naked, stripped, beaten, tortured, in pain. It's not a nice place. But yet the scripture says, who for the joy endured. I'm telling you, you can stay on your cross and you can still have joy because it's coming. There will be a resurrection day. There will be a resurrection morning. There will be a taking away. There will be a day when the angel comes down and rolls away the stone. You can stand. I'm short today. I'll end with the scripture I started with. Matthew 27, 42. See, this is, I think, the greatest temptation. Jesus is on the cross. He is healed in blinded eyes. He is raised the dead. He is make the dumb to speak. He has had arms and legs made whole. And yet he is suffering. It seems incredible. It seems contrary to our human understanding that you, after all the blessings of God and the plan of God, can be suffering. And so the devil said, he saved himself. Look at him now. He cannot save himself. He saved others. He cannot save. If God loves you, if you're his child, let's see if he can come off the cross. The easy message. The cheap message. Just put down the cross. But God has a plan for your life. There is a resurrection day. Most of us, in fact, all of us who are on this journey have a cross. Now, you may be looking at someone else's cross. And my dad used to tell this story. And this guy had an old, big, old, heavy wooden cross, ugly and chipped and rotten. And he saw someone else with a small, pretty gold cross with diamonds and stuff. And he says, God, well, if I have to carry a cross, why can't I carry that one? So God says, okay. And they swap. But the thing is, he couldn't even pick it up. You know, gold is much, much heavier than wood. You may be looking at someone else's cross and saying, oh, well, look, they got an easy cross. But you have no idea. No idea. Until you've tried to pick up their cross, I would just zip it. You got to work out your own salvation. You can't work out somebody else's salvation. You got to work out your own salvation. So my message today is this. You got to stay on your cross. But there is a resurrection morning. There is going to be a day of glory. There is going to be a day of blessing. When the Father says, come up here. When he says, welcome thou good and faithful servant. You have done well. You were given a little and you have done a lot with it. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I'm closing this message, but this is for maybe all of us. Because I think all of us have a cross. And you can't pray your way out of this cross. I had many more scriptures, but I'll stop here. I'll leave you just one more. In 2 Corinthians 12, it's the one that God gave me a Damascus Road experience with. Paul said, listen, I had this thing that I've been praying for 3 times I prayed for it, and God wouldn't take it away. So now I'm going to glory. I'm going to start to worship God. Even in my infirmities, in my cross, I'm going to start thanking God for the cross, because the cross leads to the resurrection. The cross leads to victory. The cross will one day lead us to heaven. So stay on your cross. Hallelujah. These altars are open. We're going to close this service. But I want to encourage every believer here today. Jesus said, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Pick up his own cross. Pick up your own cross. You have to identify with Christ, because the servant is not greater than the master. The servant is not greater than the master. One day that cross will be coming down. One day the tomb will be opened and there will be a resurrection event. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you this afternoon. Lord, help us to stay upon our cross until, Lord God, whatever it is in us has died to this world. Help us to be crucified with you. Hallelujah. Oh God, so that we can also be raised in the likeness of your resurrection. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you today for the words of life. Oh God, that you have put in our heart. Lord, help us to walk worthy of the calling that you have put upon our lives. Hallelujah. We thank you today, church. If you could pray with me, if you could lift up your voices, if you could start thanking God that you will have some joy to endure your cross as I pray for those at the altar.